Ascent Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Interconnected Realities: How the Metaverse Will Transform Our Relationship with Technology Forever. By Leslie Shannon. Narrated by Rebecca H. Lee. Publisher's Note: This audiobook contains references to visuals present in the print and ebook editions of the book. Limit of liability and disclaimer of warranty. While the publisher and author have used their best efforts in preparing this book, they make no representations or warranties with respect to the accuracy or completeness of the contents of this book, and specifically disclaim any implied warranties of merchantability or fitness for a particular purpose. No warranty may be created or extended by sales representatives or written sales materials. The advice and strategies contained herein may not be suitable for your situation. You should consult with a professional where appropriate. Further, readers should be aware that websites listed in this work may have changed or disappeared between when this work was written and when it is read. Neither the publisher nor authors shall be liable for any loss of profit or any other commercial damages, including but not limited to special, incidental, consequential, or other damages. Preface. Why are we here? No one really knows yet what the metaverse is. And fair enough, it's a loose concept, drawn from literary inspiration rather than a specific technical definition. It's something about the internet, something about 3D digital worlds, something about avatars, something about blockchain and NFTs, something about shopping, something about gaming. Right? Well, kind of. As it turns out, the lack of a widely agreed-upon metaverse definition creates the opportunity for those who get there first to be the ones who define it, which is why we see so many players from so many different industries rushing to embrace this space. Companies from the worlds of tech, fashion, Web3, manufacturing, education, telecommunications, and plenty of other industries, plus a host of new startups, are all planting their flags on Planet Metaverse. That so many companies are jumping on the metaverse concept, surprisingly so, indicates two main things. One, a general feeling that there is something in here that is genuinely worth participating in. And two, determination by those who were left behind by recent mobile and cloud and internet disruptions to not get left behind again. Facebook, one of the major movers of the metaverse concept, is a case in point. They originally acquired Oculus, a virtual reality headset maker, because they had missed the opportunity to lead the mobile hardware space and found themselves repeatedly at the business mercy of Apple and Google. In 2014, while looking for the next big thing, Mark Zuckerberg tried on an Oculus Rift headset and was blown away by the experience. John Carmack of Oculus explained his grand vision of a world in the future where there are no displays or monitors because we have glasses. Everyone has virtual displays, everywhere, all the time. And soon, it'll be almost primitive that we had these old computer boxes and game consoles and televisions up on the walls. Zuckerberg could imagine this world too, and decided that Facebook would be the one to create the next paradigm, rather than be shut out again. Half bold creator of new worlds, half FOMO. That seems to be a pretty common recipe driving metaverse interest and activity in many of the companies that I see. I'm particularly familiar with this mix because it's one of the motivations for my role at Nokia, which is head of trend and innovation scouting. I've been with the company since 2000 and in the trend scouting role located in Silicon Valley since 2016. My job is to explore the innovation that lies beyond the world of Nokia's telecommunications domain, which is a wide swath that includes augmented reality, AR, glasses, haptic gloves, natural language interfaces, visual analytics of all kinds, virtual reality, VR, drones, robotics, pretty much anything new that has a connectivity component, which is more or less everything. I'm looking for new revenue opportunities for both Nokia and our operator and enterprise customers, as well as the bigger picture of what demands these innovations will place on the networks of the future, so that both we and our customers can be sure to build the networks that will be able to deliver the performance these innovations will need. In this context, having the courage to seize and define bold new opportunities and being afraid of missing the next big thing are both frequent conversation topics I have with companies around the world. In my research, the topics of VR and AR come up constantly. I'm an avid user of both, along with many other technologies, and over time have formed definite opinions about what each area is good for and where they are lacking, which makes it a good time to say this. Views and opinions expressed in this book are my own and are not meant to represent those of my places of work, including Nokia. It's in this context that I've been deeply involved for some time with the various elements that together make up the metaverse. In my role as a Silicon Valley-based technology trend scout, I look for what futurists call signals. These are today's developments that suggest new paths for all of us in the future, whether technical, social, or both. In this book, I'm going to share with you the most significant signals that I'm seeing around the topic of the metaverse, so that you'll have a wide knowledge of what's already being accomplished today. There's only one metaverse, just as there is only one internet, but there are multiple subcategories of the metaverse that solve different problems for different audiences, and we're going to look at a wide range of them. From there, I'll look at the technical developments that we know are coming, both in the telecommunications industry where I have my roots, and elsewhere. These metaverse game changers will enable the next generation of metaverse experiences, and knowing what the most important of these are will help you understand the import of new developments as they're announced, so you'll be able to judge for yourself how quickly or slowly we are progressing toward the more fully realized metaverse of the future. Finally, I'm going to share with you my thoughts about where this is all headed and what kind of world the metaverse will be for us all. I'll be basing my conclusions on the signals that I've been tracking, the evidence of the new technical developments that we can see, and of course, a healthy dose of my own personal experience, opinions, and hopes. If you come to different conclusions from your own experience, opinions, and hopes, then great. There is no one path to the future, but the more we think about what it could be and what we would like it to be, the more chance we all have to intentionally create a future that we love. The title of this book is Interconnected Realities, because that's the way I see the most important aspect of the metaverse, its ability to connect our own physical reality with another entity, be that a person, a place, or information. But that definition is going to need a little more explanation before it entirely makes sense. For now, let me just tell you that I think that the metaverse and its method of interconnecting our realities are indeed the next big thing. The metaverse is important, not because we're all going to become avatars in a digital shopping mall or own a digital version of our homes on a digital planet somewhere, but because a significant paradigm shift is about to occur in how humans and computers interact with each other, and the metaverse sits at the heart of this change. Exciting? You bet. Scary? That too. Inevitable? Probably. Opportunities, threats, disruptions, old businesses falling, new businesses rising? All of the above. So fasten your seatbelts and come check out how our world is about to change. 1. Introduction to the Metaverse. In November 1995, Bill Gates was a guest on Late Night with David Letterman. This was in the very early days of the internet, and David Letterman was puzzled by what all the fuss was about. Here's a shortened version of their exchange. Letterman. What is the internet exactly? Gates. A place where people can publish information. Everyone can have their own homepage. Companies are there. The latest information. You can send electronic mail to people. Letterman. I heard you could watch a live baseball game on the internet. What I want to know is, does radio ring a bell? Gates. There's a difference. You can listen to the game anytime you like. Letterman. Do tape recorders ring a bell? The conversation carried on in this vein. For everything that Bill Gates told David Letterman that the internet would be able to do for him, get motorsports updates, communicate with other cigar aficionados, interact with others with similar interests, Letterman was able to point to something already in his life that was, in his view, a perfectly adequate source of the same information. He already had cigar magazines and the Quaker State Speedline phone service for motor racing updates. Really, what more could the internet do for him? Gates was not able to convince him or the live studio audience of anything new that the internet could bring him. This is the problem when new platforms and types of media formats are created. It's difficult to see how they're going to change your life until suddenly they do. Back in 2010, my family got one of the first-generation iPads. Even though we bought one, we really didn't have a good reason for buying it beyond playing the games Cut the Rope and Angry Birds. The moment of revelation came when we bought a new dining table from IKEA, but discovered that the instructions for putting it together had not been included in the box. What to do? We quickly found that the instructions for our Nair table were available online, but our home computer was in a room at the other end of the house, a room too small to assemble the dining room table in. My husband and I were just about to resign ourselves to running back and forth between our dining room and the study to check the plans for each new step of the build when, ding, inspiration struck. We could use the tablet to look at the instructions right there in the dining room. In that moment, the full power of a portable, largish screen computer became apparent, and I never had to wonder about the utility of a tablet again. This is what Steve Jobs was talking about when he famously said, "It's really hard to design products by focus groups. A lot of times, people don't know what they want until you show it to them." I didn't know what a tablet was for until I came across a situation that demanded a large, portable, readable screen in my own life, and felt the relief that came with discovering that I had the perfect solution to my problem already in my hand. We don't know for sure what David Letterman is doing on the internet these days, but he's probably not subscribing to hard-copy cigar magazines or calling the Quaker State Speedline anymore. This is the situation we find ourselves in with the metaverse. The metaverse in the early 2020s is the equivalent of the mid-1990s in the development of the internet. Many people are talking about it, a few people are already building it, but no one can really define what it is or what it will be able to do for us, or even if it will be relevant to anyone at all once it's here. For these reasons, it's very easy right now to both slap a vague metaverse label on anything you want and to ignore the concept altogether. I know I certainly put the internet into the too hard basket in my own mind back in 1995, and only eventually got excited about it in my own life when I discovered I could buy almost any book from Amazon and have it delivered to me at home. Same with the metaverse. Most people are not going to get excited about it until they personally discover what it can do for them. Toward a problem-solving metaverse. So what can the metaverse do for people? Let's start by looking at what the general concept of the metaverse is. In the two books that first got me excited about the concept, Snow Crash and Ready Player One, the metaverse, or Oasis, is a digital world that humans can enter with the aid of some kind of hardware, in which they can interact with other people and entities in ways that may or may not have relevance and meaning back out in the physical world. It's immersive, it's unlimited, and your identity can be whoever or whatever you choose. I can be a giant banana and dance all night in a disco on a digital Mars if I want. Cool. That's the general concept. But let's back up for a second and look at it in a different way. After my slow start with the internet in the mid-1990s, I entered the hot new world of mobile telephony as a career in 1996, and have been asking the question, will this take off or not, about new technologies ever since. What I've learned in the multiple decades that I've been working in this space is that new technology is only successful if it solves a problem without costing too much. Let's spend some time unpacking this phrase's implications with some examples before we bring this thought back to the metaverse. New technology is only successful if it solves a problem. My poster child for this statement is 3D TV. It might be fun to see more realistic broadcasts, but is it really a problem to watch 2D images on your TV screen at home? Especially when producing 3D TV content is likely to be fairly expensive and limited at first? The resounding answer from the global market, at least for now, has been no. Watching 2D content on our TVs is not a problem that needs to be solved. 3D television has not become successful because, in large part, it does not solve a problem. Back in the 1980s, though, the mass market was interested in solving the problem of not being able to watch a TV show if you weren't able to be present at the one and only time your show was broadcast over network TV. Enter the video recorder. Except, which format should you buy? The higher quality Betamax or the lower quality VHS? As we all know, the VHS format is the one that won out. But it wasn't because it literally cost less than Betamax. A more substantial driver behind VHS's success was that it initially offered two-hour tapes, while Betamax's first tapes were only 1 hour long. The problem that the TV watchers of the world had wasn't just that they wanted to tape one-hour shows from live TV. It was that they wanted to record TV movies, which were usually 2 hours long. VHS owes its eventual victory in the VCR format wars not to its cheaper price, but rather to its offering being a better solution to the problem. New technology is only successful if it solves a problem without costing too much. Cost can be monetary, as in the VCR example above. It certainly didn't hurt the VHS standard that it was cheaper than the Betamax equivalent. Or in the case of my family's revelatory experience with the iPad, we only had that experience because the iPad itself wasn't prohibitively expensive, and we were able to buy one even without having a very firm idea about what we were going to use it for. Cost can come in other forms, though, including time, inconvenience, frustration factor, and so on. Back in the late 1990s and early 2000s, for example, you could read your email on your mobile phone, but only if you could specify your phone's IP address and POP server during setup. What, you don't have that information easily to hand? No mobile email for you, then. The time and engagement cost for mobile email in those early days was just too high for it to catch on widely, which created the perfect market opening for the BlackBerry. This now brings us to the gazillion-dollar question, what problem does the metaverse solve? Crickets. Frankly, any conversation that we have with ourselves or others about this question is, at this particular moment of metaverse development, very likely to sound like Bill Gates talking with David Letterman in 1995. Let's run through a few scenarios. Metaverse skeptic. What is the metaverse exactly? Metaverse fan. An immersive world where you can build a digital mansion and have all your friends' avatars come over. Metaverse skeptic. Do Zoom rooms with a palace background ring a bell? Metaverse fan. Yeah, but you don't have to look like yourself. You can be a giant banana if you want. Metaverse skeptic. Does snap camera with a giant banana filter ring a bell? And so on. The reason that we are here, The reason that I'm writing a book about the metaverse and you're listening to it is that somewhere in that metaverse concept, there must be some kind of a solution to some kind of problem, even if we can't quite articulate it yet. And there is one problem that the metaverse directly addresses, although it's not a problem that we talk about or even acknowledge to ourselves very often. This problem is that most of our computing is currently locked behind 2D screens. To access it, we have to engage with a computer or tablet or phone screen using both our vision and our cognitive attention, thus withdrawing our looking and thinking from the people, places, and things that surround us in the physical world. We make jokes about restaurant outings in which every person at the table is looking at their phone screen rather than talking to each other. But at the same time, it's well understood that distracted driving kills thousands of people annually in the United States alone, and a majority of U.S. parents are concerned that their teenagers are spending too much time on screens for both social media and gaming. You can probably name an incident in your own life within just the past week in which looking at a screen rather than being present in your immediate surroundings created a situation that caught you out socially, or made you neglect someone, or was even potentially dangerous. Yeah, I can too. We are all complicit in this one. The problem is that smartphones and computers have done too well at solving the problem of delivering information and entertainment to us exactly when and where we want it. To get this spectacular convenience, we're prepared to pay a surprisingly high cost in terms of our connection to the people, places, and things physically around us. And it's a cost that we're paying quite thoughtlessly today. But make no mistake, we're paying it. A union of the digital and the physical. Let's now rethink what a relevant problem-solving metaverse could be. If one of the problems that it's solving is our overcommitment to screens, then how is an immersive digital world the answer? Well, it's not. But if we start thinking about a spectrum of experience in which the far left-hand side is 100% physical experiences, the far right-hand side is 100% digital experiences, then there also exists a middle point that is 50% physical and 50% digital, and sliding proportions of digital-physical mixes on either side of that middle point. It's the digital-physical mixes that deserve our attention, the interconnected realities. Interconnected realities, digital-physical fusion. Now we're getting somewhere. This concept of the metaverse is a world in which we can have the compelling, fascinating, relevant content that we currently access on screens, but integrated visually into our physical world in a way that enhances our lives rather than removing us from them. This concept of the metaverse imagines the digital and physical aspects being incorporated with each other on a constantly sliding scale, so that sometimes we are fully immersed in a digital world, when that serves the purpose of the moment. But it is also possible to spend significant time fully immersed only in the physical world. The main metaverse action takes place in a mix of the two, which we would activate on an as-needed basis, controlled by the end user, with the focus on digitally enhancing our experience as we continue to stay mostly aware of and present in our physical surroundings, and the people and things that are there with us. This metaverse of interconnected realities will be a place where we combine digital information, or entertainment, from the world of the internet with our physical surroundings so that we can be more efficient, more informed, more delighted, and more aware than we are today. A simple example of this enhanced future might be a sensor in my oven that connects with my augmented reality, AR, glasses, and when the oven is on, displays its current temperature in a visual digital overlay when my gaze lingers on my oven for more than 1 or 2 seconds. Useful when I'm on the other side of the kitchen. If that example isn't very compelling, hang on. Later in the book, I'm going to tell you about some really exciting mixed reality concepts that will blow your socks off. This, then, is my definition of the metaverse. The metaverse is a partly or fully digital experience that brings together people, places, and/or information in real time in a way that transcends that which is possible in the physical world alone in order to solve a problem. This definition covers the two people meeting as avatars in a virtual reality space concept that most people think of when they think of the metaverse, as well as the very simple oven example that I just gave. In the case of the oven, it's a partly digital experience that connects me with the invisible current temperature of my oven from any distance away. The problem that it solves is me wondering how much longer it's going to take before my oven reaches the temperature I need to cook dinner, without having to walk over to it and peer at its small, poorly illuminated readout. A minor problem, to be sure. But sometimes it's the solutions to the little irksome things in life that bring unexpected delight. Noted metaverse thinker and author Matthew Ball has said, "If there's any aspect of the metaverse on which everyone can agree, it's that it is based on virtual worlds." Well, no, I don't agree. Which just goes to show how fluid the definition and understanding of the metaverse is in these early days. Purists from Ball's camp will object that the inclusion of partly digital experiences deviates from the immersive virtual world metaverse concept suggested by early visualizations Snow Crash and Ready Player One. And they're right. And that's okay. If we're going to build the next iteration of the internet and have it be an actual successful technology, it does us no harm whatsoever to thoughtfully expand our definition so that it includes the ways in which adding digitalized content to our lives will transform our experience at every point of the day, not just those moments when we are sitting in front of a computer or wearing a virtual reality VR headset. The metaverse is a new paradigm for how humans and computers will interact, not a specific digital world. Although this expanded definition of the metaverse may not match the current common assumption that metaverse equals immersive, I'm hardly a lone voice in the forest on this point. Consider this 2022 statement from Nick Clegg, Meta's president for global affairs. "The metaverse isn't just about the detached worlds of VR. It stretches from using avatars or accessing metaverse spaces on your phone through AR glasses that project computer-generated images onto the world around us to mixed reality experiences that blend both physical and virtual environments." Even more forcefully, Niantic CEO John Hankey notably published a blog post in August 2021 titled, "The Metaverse is a Dystopian Nightmare. Let's Build a Better Reality." Come on, John, tell us how you really feel. In this piece, he argues that the fully digital metaverse is fragmenting and ultimately potentially divisive, something we've all had a glimpse of during the COVID lockdown phase. It's all too easy to get lulled into a routine of Zoom calls, online shopping, gaming. It encourages behavior toward one another that we would never tolerate in person, and is dividing our society by algorithmically pushing people into bubbles which reinforce the most extreme views. It's no surprise that as the company behind Pokemon Go, Niantic instead is focusing on leveraging technology to get us all off our sofas, out of the house, and connecting with others directly in socially meaningful ways. That's what the Pokemon Go experience is all about. The hundreds of millions of people who have played Pokemon Go since its introduction in 2016, and the tens of millions who continue to play today, are telling us that there's something satisfying in this experience, in this digital-physical blend that moves with us as we move through our physical worlds. Noted tech observer Benedict Evans also confirms that the trend of our technology use across the past few decades is away from immersion and toward mobility, as we've shifted our most significant computer interactions from the PC to first the laptop and then the smartphone. We want to be out in the world, not chained to a desk. Bringing together people, places, and/or information is another key part of this definition. There are a lot of wonderful VR experiences today that are truly enjoyable, but they are not part of the metaverse. One example is single-player VR gaming. I've spent hours playing engrossing games like Moss and Down the Rabbit Hole, but I don't think for...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?